A number of high-profile people in the world of entertainment have been accused of sexual misconduct, from Harvey Weinstein to Kevin Spacey to Louis C.K., and that's led to a lot of people questioning how to handle the work they've done and thinking about how or whether to watch their performances. To help us dig into that, we're joined by Tiffany Farrell, curator of exhibitions at Mesa Contemporary Arts at Mesa Art Center, and Matt Delmont, director of the School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies at ASU. And Tiffany, let's start with you and take a look at the big picture here. How should we, as the consuming public, handle the work that these people have done?
I think it depends. You know, I think there's different ways we treat things like living artists versus dead artists, if you will. Dead artists, you know, I think we have to analyze things as they are and use it for context. And living artists, if you will, I think we also have to take a step back. Right now we're in the middle of a controversy, highly emotional topics. The Me Too movement is in its height right now, and I think we can't make certain decisions until we know the ramifications and have a little bit of distance. And then there's things we can do. I mean, I think one of the first things we're doing right now is knocking these people off their pedestals. I think that's absolutely what we have to do first. But then the next, you know, level of it may need to figure out what is going to be helpful for people in the future, for especially the victims. Should their royalties be used for them? Should they go to court and then, you know, have civil process go through all of that? Because if you sit there and say, okay, Weinstein, we're not going to show any more of his movies anymore, what happens is you're not only affecting Weinstein, great, but you're affecting all the other people that have worked under him. So I feel like we have to be very careful in times like these right now.
Matt, what do you think?
I like a lot of what Tiffany said. I think particularly drawing distinctions between living artists and artists in the past. But for folks who are living, things, one of the things that really struck me about the moment we're in right now is there's so much attention in the sort of public discourse to the actions they've taken. I think it's because so few of these cases actually go to court. Right, so I think it's being tried in the court of public opinion because that's one of the only places we can actually see it tried. I'm actually in more of a kind of rush to judgment mode, I think, than Tiffany is. I'm fine with people who have been accused of these things and reasonable people believing that the accusations are accurate, which I believe they are. They don't need to be in business any longer. Right? I think we can talk about the ramifications of what comes next. But for contemporary artists who are accused of some of these heinous acts, they can be put on the sidelines, right, until they have a chance to rehabilitate themselves, apologize, and sort of make amends. So I think actually for folks who've been found guilty of things and have a chance to sort of serve a term for what they've done, that actually makes me more comfortable that they've been held accountable. There's so many people in Hollywood right now who just are not being held accountable. If this is what it's going to take for consumers to kind of join together and boycott their work, I'm actually okay with that, a more hardline stance on that.
Tiffany, it's interesting what you said about how, for example, if people don't show Harvey Weinstein movies anymore, you're not just hurting him, you're hurting all the people who, you know, worked on those films. And in fact, you know, there's a lot of discussion about what the future, for example, of House of Cards would be once Kevin Spacey was fired from that show and all the allegations came out about him. And the decision was made that there would be one more year as planned, one more season of the show, but he would not be on it. Does that sort of seem like the way to maybe go, both from a media company perspective, but also maybe from a media consumer perspective?
Absolutely. I think that's an appropriate stance. And then it allows then for another conversation to happen. So I understand the lead female role is going to become more dominant. And I think that's a way of tackling the issue, you know, and it hopefully brings about a bit of satisfaction in a contemporary conversation on the dialogue and everything that's going on. I mean, for me, Bill Cosby is a huge deal too. I mean, granted, he is a predator, but his show had such an impact. Me as a white person watching the Cosby show, was all the shows that were out there on the media were negative portrayals of black people. And Bill Cosby brought to light, look, these are professionals. They're upper middle class people, and you can't discredit some of that positiveness that happened.
Matt, I actually wanted to bring up Bill Cosby. I was thinking as well, when there's a greater cultural significance to something, because with Weinstein, people can watch movies or not, and they may or may not think of him as they're watching the movies, but Bill Cosby in many cases was the creator of the programs he did as well. When there's a greater cultural significance to it, when it feels like, as Tiffany posited there, that maybe this is the first positive example people saw of an African-American on TV, how does that affect things in a greater sense?
I think being able to talk about the context in which these works were created. So I think no one's ever going to take away the cultural significance of the Cosby Show in the 1980s. And in fact, Cosby's entire legacy as an entertainer, all of his groundbreaking roles. But at the same time, now every time we talk about it in the classroom, when it shows up in textbooks, when it's on Wikipedia, it's going to be couched in the context of he also, based on accusations, appeared to be a serial rapist, right? You can't separate these two things at this moment. So I think the kind of question going forward would be, with the Cosby Show, do we air reruns of it? Right? I think that's where you can hold the Cosby Show up to sort of say that it had this amazing cultural legacy, but we don't need to keep airing reruns of it, right? The Cosby Show, one of the good things it did in the 80s was it opened up the door to a lot more African-American programming. So we should have reruns of Rock and 227, right, in a different world, right? We don't need right. – we can let the Cosby Show itself go while still having the sort of the two lines that say this was an important moment in American TV history and American African-American history.
Is it harder to think about, though? Because as you say, Bill Cosby did a lot of amazing things for African-Americans on TV and entertainment in general, but – like, as a consumer, is it possible really to separate that? And maybe should we try to separate that out?
For myself as a consumer and also as a scholar, I don't separate them out. I think I'm always thinking about producers' works of art in the context in which they're produced and the what kind of meaning went into it, what kind of people these people were, right? Doesn't mean they all need to be role models, but I want to share with my students what kind of person was this, right? I'm teaching Birth of a Nation, right? I want to be able to talk. I need to show the film, right? It's an important film, but also give the context of what W.D. Griffith was trying to achieve and where it sort of fit into American cultural history. With The Cosby Show, that one actually hurts personally, right? You watch it, so you identify with it. I was 10 at the time it came out, and I loved the show, right? To watch it now is creepy. But it's actually funny, going back and talking to my mom, these were not things that were – a lot of people shared these secrets, right? So she was a flight attendant. She talked to other flight attendants. They knew Bill Cosby was a creepy guy, right? That didn't come through on the TV series. But for people who were in the know, a lot of this sort of was going on under the radar. So for me, trying to watch a show, I can't watch it the same way now. It just doesn't read the same as a consumer. And I'm okay working through that and kind of letting that go, right? That aspect of my childhood can be gone and stay in the past and recognize that everything is a lot more complicated than it comes through on TV, I think.
Tiffany, I wanted to ask, though obviously this conversation is about artists, I wonder how we compare to some extent. If we think about political folks, if we look back in time, that there's talk that Woodrow Wilson, was he a racist? Or we go back to the Founding Fathers and this sort of thing. So just to put it into context, art is so important to many of us in terms of how we live our lives. And yet, in some ways, people would argue it doesn't necessarily directly affect us in terms of the moral choices that an artist makes, maybe less affecting to us than the moral choices that someone in politics makes. How do you think we balance that out?
Again, it just depends, you know, what you're doing. I mean, me as a curator, it just depends what the conversation I'm wanting to have. So I know a big deal was putting together the 9/11 museum. Huge deal was, well, how do you talk about the terrorists? You know, they're obviously a part of the equation. They put their image, if you've ever been to the 9/11 memorial, they actually have their images there and also showing some of the footage and stuff like that of when they were passing through the TSA. It was a huge criticism by the victims and the families of the victims, and they felt very strongly that those you're memorializing those people, you're giving them their own line in history. And but it's like, again, you can't sit there and say this just happened. You can't rewrite history. You can't rewrite the pains of history and what the wrong people have done. So I think they have a very valid spot in that art museum. You can say that about anything.
I think in a lot of cases, people will look at maybe books and literature and art a little differently than they would look at, for example, a TV show or a movie, especially a sitcom and a movie. Going forward, though, do you think that maybe people will be studying popular culture, maybe The Cosby Show or House of Cards or whatever program it is going forward, the way that scholars have been looking at art and books to try to get a sense of what were things like at that time? What was the context in which this work was created?
So I think, yes, absolutely. And scholars are already doing this. What the academic term for it is extratextual. So things that appear outside of the film or outside of the book or outside of the TV series and try to read that into the production itself. I think that's important because it actually gives you a more complicated and nuanced view of a film or TV show, right? So going back and trying to watch House of Cards now, it's going to be totally different the second time around. And going back to your initial question, one of my hopes of this moment is actually we'll create new creative possibilities, right? So for that show, they should have had Robin Wright's character be the lead on season two anyway, because Kevin Spacey's character was kind of played out after season one. Whatever he did off screen, he could have just been done after season one anyway. But I'm hopeful that getting rid of some of these bad characters who almost or exclusively men will actually open up more space for more female leads, more female directors, both film and TV, in better cultural productions.
Matt Delmont is the director of the School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies at ASU. We're also joined by Tiffany Farrell, curator of exhibitions at Mesa Contemporary Arts at Mesa Art Center. We'll hear more from them coming up in just a few minutes.
Now we continue our conversation now about what to do about art that's produced by people accused of misconduct, be it TV, movies, or fine art. Our guests are Tiffany Farrell, curator of exhibitions at Mesa Contemporary Arts at Mesa Arts Center, and Matt Delmont, director of ASU School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies at ASU. And Matt, let's look at the big picture. Do we think, based on how the public is responding, would there be more pressure, obvious or otherwise, by the public to have higher expectations of the artists? And if so, are we going to end up losing something there, since a lot of artists have done bad things, sexual misconduct or other criminal behavior, drug use or things like that? Do you see there being a chilling effect on some aspects of art?
So when I think about that, I do draw a distinction between bad behavior or self-harming behavior, so drug use, whether someone's difficult to work with, a difficult personality, and illegal behavior and the kind of sexual harassment we're seeing. I'm okay, although I don't engage myself, I'm okay with the more self-harming behaviors or the difficult artists, that kind of behavior. I'm not okay at all with the sexual harassment and the legal behavior. And I think we're okay if we lose artists who might be great geniuses in other respects but are horrible people, right? They're treating other humans horribly. We can live without their art, right? There's plenty of films, plenty of TV shows, plenty of books, plenty of works of art that we can still enjoy and critique and discuss in museums and in our classrooms. We can live without those folks. I'm actually okay with that being a chilling effect if it holds people accountable. I think ideally, the next generation, if people see people losing their livelihoods, losing their stature because they were actually held accountable for this for the first time in decades, that might actually get people to behave differently.
I think you just leave it for people to decide. I think we have to be very careful because I think it can be a form of censoring of content. It just all depends on the conversation you're using to have. I mean, if you're using it to showcase, you know, look, this is unacceptable behavior, this is an artist, and I do think we should not show, you know, definitely put these people on a pedestal, but I don't think we should destroy anything either.
Is there a danger that if we continue to, for example, watch Harvey Weinstein's movies or watch House of Cards or eat at Mario Batali's restaurants, for example, are we even subconsciously or maybe implicitly, I don't want to say condoning their behavior because I don't think anybody would do that, but in some way saying it's not okay, but it's not the worst thing. Like, I am not willing to make such a stand that I'm not going to watch this movie that I like, or I'm not going to go to this restaurant, or I'm not going to watch this TV show that I really like. Is there a struggle there, do you think?
So I think for me, one of the really challenging things about the question you pose is there's no position outside of the society in which we operate. So I think misogyny and racism permeate almost all aspects of our culture. And so one of the reasons we focus so much on individual people is I think we'd like to pretend that it's just them, and if we get rid of them, we'll somehow fix the problem. That's not the case. We know that's not the case. So I'm in some cases less worried about our individual consumption decisions about whether we watch this film or watch this thing on Netflix or go to this particular restaurant than trying to change the baseline culture of how we operate, how we engage with each other as humans, and what we allow to pass. One of the most troubling things about all these allegations, the things that come out daily, are the assumption has just been no one's going to be held to account for these, right? And that's based on the reality that no one has been held to account for these. So if we can change that, people can know that if they encounter this kind of abuse, this kind of harassment, these kind of violations, that people will listen to them, that people will believe them, that HR departments actually do their jobs and hold people accountable, that would be a good baseline to change. But that's the sort of structural baseline we're trying to change as opposed to individual consumption decisions. I think people can watch whatever they want to watch, go to whatever films they want to go to and eat wherever they want. But at a baseline level, we need to change how we regard each other as human beings.
Yeah, I think it's freedom of choice. I mean, it's, you know, you choose what you want to do. I mean, we all make choices in how, and sometimes we vote with our dollar on the morality, if you will, of certain decisions. But just because that is an issue for me doesn't mean it should be for somebody else. And I feel we have to be very careful because then you start going into restricting things for everybody just based on one group of people's response to how it is. And I think it's a slippery slope. You know, yeah, you want to hold these people accountable. But at the same time, you also have to be realistic. Okay, how are we going to do that?
Tiffany, you'd mentioned a little while ago about how, you know, maybe royalties from movies or shows that some of these folks who've been accused of improprieties goes to a charity or goes to something else, what would each of you like to see going forward, assuming that shows and movies of people who are accused of inappropriate behavior, in some cases criminally so, what would you like to see happen with money that is made from that, awards that are won from stuff like that? Like, how do we make this sort of a teachable moment and get some good coming out of this, as opposed to just, you know, glorifying artists who, as it turns out, were terrible people?
It was interesting. We had a show several years ago that focused, it was called Artillery, and it was art influenced by guns. And it was curated by an outside person, and the curator decided to include a piece by Gacy, you know, the mass murderer. What the victims did were, some of them purchased the work, or they somehow, somebody purchased the work, the money went toward victims, or some of them had a bonfire with it. You know, it just depends on what therapy needs to be done to help people, how they want to choose to rectify the situation. And I think going at them in the courts, I mean, making sure these people don't work with Weinstein again. Sorry, if you're going to work with him, you're going to get a backlash. And whether or not you want to do that, that's going to be your choice.
Matt, what do you think?
So I'll take a slightly different approach on this, focusing on Hollywood. I would say that the major studios need to invest heavily in having more women as directors for film and television. I was looking at UCLA. They put up a report every year on the sort of gender and racial dynamics of who's making the things that we watch. Only 15% of films are produced or directed by women, and only 30% of TV shows are produced and directed by women. I'm going to make a sweeping generalization that I think is largely true. All of the things we're seeing right now are not, we wouldn't see if we had women in positions of power, right? These are men behaving badly, behaving illegally. If we had equal numbers of women and men directing films, being in positions of power in studios, these things wouldn't happen the same way they're playing out right now. So while I'd love to see sort of funds created and directed direct to the victims, I think a broader change might be holding the studios to account and asking them to have real systems in place to make sure that they have appropriate gender representation of women in film and television.
Matt Delmont is the director of the School of Historical, Philosophical, and Religious Studies at ASU. We were also joined by Tiffany Farrell, curator of exhibitions at Mesa Contemporary Arts at Mesa Arts Center.